Even when you can't be there, they are. It's Chicago Tribune Sports Plus with more coverage from more journalists than anywhere else in the city. Join now, chicagotribune.com/sportsplus. All right, Brian Noonan. If you listen to the show, you know this is the time of the day normally when Roe has a panic attack.
Yes.
He's very worried about some inevitable wild swing in the market that might be corrected the next day.
His money is leaving, but then it comes back. But
then it
leaves.
Back. And even if it's on an up note, I mean, it could go back down on Monday.
Sure.
So that's normally what we talk about.
He fears volatility, Anna. Let's be honest.
I guess anyone who follows it really closely might get that feeling, but that's why Susan Schmidt is here from Westwood in Dallas. She always tells us that doesn't matter, and it's
right.
Good Friday, so the U.S. stock market takes a break, and we take a deep
That's
breath.
Right.
We're all taking.
We do get to take a deep breath today. The market was closed, and most of the global markets were closed. So there's a lot of, and hence I'm still in my office working away. But it's a good day for portfolio managers to catch up and take a deep breath because it's been quite the wild ride so far this year.
They say so much volatility, one of the most volatile quarters, you know, in history, and the market's not sure where to go. Do you have any sort of overall statements to tell us before we get into? We want to talk about housing and some other things today too, Susan.
Well, I think right now for the market, we saw a lot of news in January and February, which caused a lot of emotional stress. And when you get this kind of volatility, it's up, it's down, it's rarely sideways. It leads road to panic, as we all know. And you get a lot of indecision. And that's tough if you are looking at your investments on a daily basis and wondering, wow, what's happening? Right now, we're going into the quarter end. Most of the big news has come out. So we saw a lot in January and February. It was China. It was Europe. It was interest rates. It was economic data that caused people to panic. And that's what caused all that volatility. So going into quarter end, there's not a lot of news out there. We don't see any big things coming in the next couple of weeks. It should be relatively calm. And we've seen things stabilize. As February started to move through, things got a little more stable. We were past the point of thinking the total world was in crisis. So I think we're going to see a little bit more stability as we go into spring.
It seemed like what happened in Europe and Brussels had very little impact on the market. And to me, that almost felt like a sad statement that where are we now that a deadly terrorist bombing in a public place, a major global city, doesn't have much of an impact. But perhaps
we saw that's yeah. Very true, Anna. We saw very little reflection of that in the market. There was a slight downtick on the market open, but the U.S. stock market really didn't get affected by that. And I think it is a sad statement that we're unfortunately becoming so used to this, that these crisis moments are happening around the globe, and we are moving on in the market, recognizing that when they happen before, the market does like to have knee-jerk reactions. And we've seen that in the past. As the market gets used to things, and it's sad to say, but we're getting used to seeing these kinds of terrorist events, the market has less of a reaction because it's becoming more accustomed to it.
Susan, you were talking about stability. A month or so ago, everybody was talking about how oil kept going down, down, down. Now lately, it's been going up, it's been down, it's been jumping around a little bit. Do you see that stability coming to oil prices?
No, I don't. And oil is a commodity that has never been stable. So everyone is very happy right now because oil is coming back up to 40. It wasn't that long ago that we were talking about it, and oil was at 26, 27, mm-hmm. which was the low. So it has slowly made a crawl back upwards. It's kind of hovering around 40 now. And it all depends on what is going on in terms of headline news out of OPEC and the Middle East. So right now, it's sort of stabilized at 40. Don't count on that, folks, because anything could happen here. It's still wide open for discussion. What's going to happen? OPEC members are saying they're not going to talk to each other. Some are saying they will have a discussion. Some of them are saying, well, we'll freeze production, which really doesn't mean anything because the majority of OPEC members are at maximum production. The only one who could ramp it up even further is Saudi, and they're already going pretty full out. So it's a lot of rhetoric, not a lot of substance to it. But again, oil is so volatile that it'll move around with that. Don't count on it staying at 40. This is something that could always swing.
gas prices here in Chicago have gone up quite a bit since we last talked to you.
Yeah.
$2.22 the average in Chicago, $2.10 in the state. The lowest you'll find anywhere, $1.90. I remember we were just paying like $1.40 or
right,
$1.45
yeah.
or something like that.
Very exciting a couple months ago.
We also want to talk to you about housing, though. There was this big article in the Tribune, housing prices climbing, home purchases increasing, but almost 10 years since the housing crash, and it's not easier to get a mortgage. Susan Smith, what's going on here? It feels like one of the things they mentioned in the article also is that your typical credit score now was like 744 nationally, that Chicago area lenders are even pickier than that in order to approve mortgages. It seems like this is sort of going to be a strain on the economy if that continues.
Well, it can be tough. So we got too loose with credit, and everybody was able to get a second, third, fourth home even. I mean, remember that when we went into the crisis, really one of the things that brought us down was that we had a lot of loose credit from the banks. We had low doc, no doc, which means low documentation, no income proof necessary, loans being given out. And people went a little too far with that. So the banks were suffering from it. There's a lot of regulation in place. It led to this financial crisis. The banks have now pulled credit back in because they're trying to run under tighter controls. And that's putting an impact now as we see the economy normalizing. We want people to go back and start buying homes. It's important to do that, but it's tough because it's not the same easy credit that we saw in the mid-2000s. I don't think that's going to change a whole lot, but I do think it will start to ease up a little bit. The U.S. overall is starting to improve, and while you know that article in the Tribune talks about it, we do say that credit's tougher. It is easing. If we look at it a year ago, it was even tougher then. So the banks are slowly lightening up as employment improves, as we see mortgage credit being more available, we see household formation happening. There's that drive towards housing, and I think we are going to start to see that get better as the months roll forward. But like everything else in this recovery, it's slow.
So just like you tell people not to panic over a little fluctuation in the market, if people see numbers like 669 is the lowest credit score that people are qualifying for mortgages as opposed to 580 before the crash, they need to take that with a grain of salt and say, you know, there's lenders who can work with people with different scores, right?
There definitely are. There's a lot of factors that go into your credit score. And remember that before the crash, the people that had the 580 credit scores were, there were people coming in with no credit scores, no credit history whatsoever, that were getting loans, and that was what led to the problem. So have a discussion with your bank, have a discussion with your mortgage broker. Let them know what's going on. There's a lot of stuff that goes into that FICO score where you're rated on, you know, your credit potential and how reliable you are to pay that back. Don't be discouraged by it. You know, if you feel comfortable that you can afford it, the system's there to try and help you, but make sure you don't overstretch, because what you don't want to do is find out that you move into something, you're upside down, you know, should valuations do fluctuate in housing, as we've seen. So while we think that we've kind of stabilized now, they could still fluctuate. You don't want to end up in a home where you owe more than it's worth, which is where some people still are, unfortunately, or where you can't afford to keep it up and keep the payments going. So your credit score is a double-edged sword. It's hard, but it also is meant to help you a little bit to keep you out of trouble.
All right, Susan Schmidt, thank you for checking in with us. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy Dallas and the nice weather. Is it nice
yes,
there?
It's 70 and sunny today, so I have to say this is one of the days where I get the better side of the trade.
All right, well, we have to say goodbye now, Susan.
Yeah,
you have offended us on this fine Easter weekend.
Thanks
thank
for
you.
Rubbing it in.
All right.
All right.
Bye,
see
bye.
You guys.
Bye,
nice talking
bye Susan.
Bye.